a nice hand for Alec Bogosian. Also, another nice hand for Brian Sand and his quintet, if you would be so happy to do that, please. Thank you. My name is David Harp. I'm University Marshal. I'm a professor of chemistry, which is not the subject of tonight's graduation program in continuing studies, which is just fine. And we have, I think, a relatively short evening for you tonight. We do have one honorary degree, which will be given out tonight to Sally McDougall, who has been an endless contributor to McGill's benefit in being on, I don't know how many, maybe 40 or 50 different McGill committees over the years, including the one that governs your programs and the like. So that will be the longest speech of the night. The principal will also speak. And when the platform party comes in, I will ask you to stand up. The last three people in the platform party will be the chair of the board, the chancellor, and Principal Heather Monroe Bloom. It is her last convocation for continuing studies. This is after 10 and a half years of service. There will be commentary about that. The chancellor sits in the largest chair here and governs the ceremony altogether and from start to finish. After the platform party comes in and everyone is seated here in the main up in front, then he will ask you to stay standing while we sing the alma mater. That will be Winston Purdy who will sing the alma mater at that particular time. Then he will ask you to sit back down because I've asked you to stand up. This is not a religious ceremony, but there is a bit of up and down, sitting, standing, and back and forth. But fortunately, this is a relatively small group, and everyone, I think, can see quite readily exactly what's going on. What I would ask you to do as graduates is to take your card, which has two pieces, tear it in half right now so that it's all done, put it together, put it between your thumb and forefinger, and hold it there so that you don't have to rush back somehow to retrieve it. There will be a few latecomers, which will mean that the seat that you are going to occupy now will be different from the seat that you will occupy after the ceremony, simply because all of those people who were late will be filtered into the appropriate place. So don't leave anything valuable under your seat, because it won't be the same seat that you had unless you're in the very first 2 or 10 individuals that are going to be crossing the stage. When you get up to the stage, there will be a mirror that you can check in case you have a bad hair day or something, or a bad hair night. Check yourself out, make yourself look presentable, and then your photograph will be taken over on the left-hand side. Just you will be guided as to how to pose yourself. Turn left, turn right, whatever makes sense for you. Your good side or your bad side will be determined one way or another, if you have any bad sides, which I doubt. Then you will be brought to the side of the stage. All I would ask that you be very careful going up the stairs, because the stairs are not evenly spaced in vertical height. They change a little, so look down. If you've got high heels, watch out, because that could be an embarrassment for you yourself. It could be a lawsuit for the university or a lawsuit for somebody. And since we don't have the law faculty here tonight, that may be an issue. But just be as careful as you can. And as you start across there'll be markers that you will see on the floor, and two marshals will be in between the reader and yourself. The reader will be expecting to receive from a marshal your card right side up so that your name can be read. And the reader is extremely good in just about every language that I've ever heard him speak, and hopefully your name will be pronounced accurately. If you have a really unusual name, you could whisper it to the reader just to get him tuned in a little bit better than he might otherwise have been. So what I would ask the early members of the when you're crossing, just to watch out for what everybody else is doing, and then you will proceed across, and if it's your first degree, you will have your hat in your hand, and you will be capped or tapped, and as the provost will say, very lightly. No one will get hurt from the tapping and capping that goes on. If you already have a degree, you can leave your hat on. That's perfectly legal in terms of all this academic stuff. Now, the robes that everybody will be wearing on stage reflect in two things. It reflects the university where they got their highest degree, and it also, and the hoods that they have on reflect their degree in whatever subject matter it might be. As in science, it's yellow, as it turns out. So this particular robe is pale blue, and it's from the University of North Carolina. It happens to be where the principal got her degree as well, so I think we're the only two people on campus that have the same degree from the same institution. This is Carolina blue. If you're a basketball fan, you will know that that's important. If you're not, it'll be a mystery that you don't have to even think about. But those colors represent the university, and the colors of the hood represent the field of endeavor that you have been studying and the like. Over the centuries, what has happened, of course, is that these have taken on a greater significance. It used to be that these robes were just to keep the academics warm in the fact that their particular places that they were lecturing in were often rather cold and dank kind of institutions and places. So the robes helped keep them warm. In Britain, in fact, it's very common for an academic to have a robe on while lecturing. In North America, this would be considered really bizarre. I'm sure that you would agree. And I would consider it rather bizarre myself. But that is the history behind a lot of that. In the older days, the lecturers were paid by the lecture. If the lecture was good, they got a few extra coins. There was no tuition. It was a completely different set operation, and maybe we should return to that. It might solve the budget problem in some other kind of way, namely that if you didn't like the lecture, you don't pay anything. I mean, that would be a way around that. In any event, that's a bit of the background to all of this. I don't think there's a whole lot more for us to talk about other than that I would ask that you quench your cell phones, because if they're going off, some of these cell phones are very loud and very obnoxious. So turn them off if you would be so willing. I'm sure that those of you who are working, and I know many of you are, will have to get along without your bosses going after you during this particular period of time when you have a graduation to take place. As you hear out of your right side of the aircraft, as it might be said, you hear the piper coming. That's Jeff McCarthy. He's piping in the platform party as well as the principal, chair of the board, and the chancellor. So as they approach in the tunnel, just to in most of your situation, just to the immediate right, I would ask that you stand up for the platform party. I think he's just about coming into the tent. So, levez-vous, s'il vous plaît, for the platform party.
Merci, Monsieur Purdy. Good evening, graduating students, families, friends, ladies and gentlemen. Bonjour à tous. On behalf of McGill University, I would like to welcome you to the 2013 convocation ceremony of students graduating from the School of Continuing Studies. Depuis être devenu chancelier, c'est par habitude que j'ouvre cette cérémonie avec de brèves réflexions, et ce ne sera nullement différent aujourd'hui. 18 years ago, Vaclav Havel gave the commencement address at Harvard University. Havel, a Czech playwright, essayist, poet, and dissident, was the ninth and last president of Czechoslovakia, and immediately following became the first president of the Czech Republic. It was a brilliant address, which lasted well over an hour and covered a number of important issues. This evening, I want to focus on just one of those topics. What Havel argued was that the main task of politicians is not to ingratiate themselves with the public through the popular decisions they take or their charisma on television. It is not to go on winning elections, thus ensuring themselves a place in the sun until the end of their days. Politicians' role should be something quite different. It should be to set an example for the public on whose behalf they work. Their responsibility is to think ahead boldly and not to fear the disfavor of the crowd, but to explain over and over, both to the public and their political colleagues, as well as to the opposition groups, that politics must do far more than reflect the interests of particular groups or lobbies. In Havel's view, politics ought to be a matter of serving the larger community, which in effect makes it morality in practice. Like Vaclav Havel, I don't believe that a politician who sets out on this seemingly risky path will inevitably jeopardize his or her political survival. This notion of political expediency wrongly assumes that the citizens are always short-sighted and that political success depends on playing to their myopia. That is a very shallow view of human nature and ignores the fact that a conscience slumbers in every human being. Clearly, it is sometimes more dormant than at other times, but it is in their intelligence and fundamental goodwill that we must place our trust. What Vaclav Havel said 18 years ago surely rings as true today as it did then. We should not blame the political system for being corrupt, indifferent, and beyond our control. Fortunately, we live in a democracy, as do most of you who are graduating today. It allows us all to become involved in any manner we choose, at whatever level, to help make things better. In this way, each of us can help to ensure that the society in which we live is more than each of us pursuing our own self-interests. Je voudrais maintenant inviter Madame Heather Monroe Bloom, principale et vice-chancelière de l'Université McGill, à s'adresser à l'auditoire.
Chancellor, Chairman, Chancellor Emerita, Chancellor Emeritus, our distinguished honorary degree recipient, Mrs. Sally Drury McDougall, Teaching Award winners, Mrs. Maria Eduarda Nunez and Mrs. Jocelyn Philly, esteemed colleagues, proud family and friends, and graduating class of 2013, bonjour et bienvenue. As principal and vice chancellor of McGill University, it is my great privilege to welcome you all here today to the front lawns of our beautiful downtown campus for this spring convocation. I know that some of you here today as guests yourselves graduated on these very lawns. This will be my final convocation season as 16th principal of McGill University. Every year, for more than 10 years, I've had the privilege of seeing you, our McGill students, complete this major chapter in your lives and embark on a new one. Graduating students, today is truly a momentous day in your lives, a day of celebration that you will look back on and remember always. Félicitations. Savor this day. As McGill students, you have worked very hard without question. You have sacrificed much. Many of you have pursued your studies while juggling the demands of careers and families. But as tough as it may sometimes be to be a McGill student, from time to time it can be even tougher to be the family or close friend of a McGill student. And so, graduating class of 2013, I ask you to join with me in expressing our great appreciation to those who have helped you reach this day. To say thank you is an enriching act. It is so important, in fact, that I'm going to do so myself. Serving McGill, serving you, has been in every single day an exceptional honor for me. I have had you wonderful students to inspire me. Thank you. I have had an outstanding team of academic and administrative colleagues and volunteers who show unparalleled devotion to McGill and our cause. Thank you. Monsieur Richard Pound, notre chancelier émérite, a souvent dit, vous n'êtes plus la personne que vous étiez à votre arrivée ici, McGill vous change. C'est mon cas, et je sais que c'est également le vôtre. Today is the time to think about the you who walked onto our campus when you began your program here, and the you who will walk off our campus later today. Today is a time to reflect on what you will hold on to and what shall now be set aside. I too have a list of things to hold on to remember, and to keep in my heart. I will remember the power of one, the fact that a single person can change the course of events and in so doing make a positive difference to the lives of others. Each of you is such a person. I will remember that I am not alone. Together we are greater than what we are as any one individual. Collective effort is the key to progress. Whether tackling personal problems or planetary problems, we are smarter, stronger, better together. I will remember who inspired me, my great aunt Bonnie, who came from a poor, rural, single-parent family in Dust Belt, Illinois, and moved on as a single woman to become a fashion illustrator in New York in the 1930s. She was my girlhood role model for knowing that no matter what your initial circumstances, you can shape a positive path forward for yourself. Remember who gave you strength. Keep them in your heart. I will remember Dean Judith Potter, who sits with us here today, and her wonderful School of Continuing Studies. The school has changed over the years from its beginnings as a series of public lectures in 1856 to serving the professional and cultural needs of more than 14,000 learners in today's ever-changing world. Dean Potter, now in her second term, brings vision, energy, high standards, and an entrepreneurial bent to lifelong learning. She is professionalizing and innovating McGill's programs to support remarkable learners to achieve their goals. Her students, you, include recent graduates seeking a specialized edge as you make that first transition to the workplace, to seasoned professionals, to those venturing newly into university looking to expand your skills or explore new interests. Dean Potter has created strong and effective partnerships across our faculties in the city and around the world. Dean Potter, I thank you warmly for being a wonderful colleague and for all you do in leading your superb team in contributing to the growth of our students and enhancing innovation and expansion of lifelong learning at McGill. And now, graduating class of 2013, you are about to join a second family, a family of McGill alumni that includes over 220,000 people worldwide, including our chancellor, our chairman, our chancellor emerita, and our chancellor emeritus, and of course, our honorary degree recipient this evening, Mrs. Sally McDougall. Graduating class, as you leave our convocation ceremony later this evening, know that as new alumni, as graduates and ambassadors of the university, you will carry the good name of McGill with you everywhere you go. Please represent us well. We're all part of something bigger than ourselves. Today, graduating class, you are participating in a tradition that is older than this country. McGill has been awarding degrees since 1833. And in the awarding of degrees, we think of all that is possible for each of you, what we hope for each of you, and for all of humankind. Human endeavor is a miracle, but as a species, there are a few things that we're sometimes not so good at. Politics, for instance. Not Canadians in particular, but the entire human species. As a species, we too often produce political leaders, as our chancellor said, who seek primarily to differentiate themselves from their opponents. In so doing, they generate polarized positions that can be more extreme than what they themselves actually believe. This emphasizes conflict over cooperation and does not serve the greater good. We're also sometimes not so good at religion. Historically, we've shown a tendency to become upset over disagreements in small details of what we claim to be the truth. And this tendency to argue over small details prevents us from seeing the larger good that exists beyond the details, the heart of the matter that we do all share in common. So we can be bad at politics, we can be bad at religion, but there are so many things that our species is exceptionally good at. We're good at art. We're also good at literature. We've generated art, stories, and poems that have continued to delight us, move us, lift our spirits across hundreds and thousands of years. These works of art and literature are often created by individuals. It is in our communal efforts that we sometimes fall short. Politics, religion. But as I said earlier, we are smarter, stronger, better together. So what then are the areas of communal activity in which our species does so brilliantly? Let me speak to one example. A long time ago, a community decided to seek out those of its members who showed evidence of very focused intelligence, and they gathered these people in one place and provided them with shelter and nourishment and encouraged them to pursue their curiosity, their thirst for knowledge, wherever it led them. That was a good idea, but what was even more brilliant was that the community took their young people and put them in the same place and allowed them to be enriched by their interactions with these focused intelligences, who were themselves enriched by their interactions with the young. When these two ideas came together, supportive, focused intelligence interacting with the young, the communities that created this arena prospered and rapidly advanced beyond their neighbors in trade, in prosperity, in the quality of their culture and their health, and in the development of peaceful civil society. And it was such a brilliant creation that once these two ideas came together, the resulting institution gained momentum, moving from generation to generation, enriching every area in which it arose. It was such a good idea that it outlived politicians and political parties. It outlived whole systems of government. This idea, which we call the university, is the highest achievement that our species has produced. And the communities within which these universities were first created and supported became the most successful societies in our history, and this remains the case today. In 1808, William Blake published a short poem in which he expressed his aspirations for the spiritual life of his country. I'd like to share with you the final verse of this poem, which, with two or three words changed, expresses my hope for the life of our university, McGill, and our society. Bring me my words of burning gold, bring me ideas that inspire, bring me my books, O clouds unfold, bring me my chariot of fire. I will not cease from mental fight, nor shall my pen sleep in my hand, till we have raised up our place of learning in this green and pleasant land. Thank you. Merci.
Thank you, Madam Principal. I ask Dr. Carmen Cecilia to introduce the first of this year's winners of the School of Continuing Studies Award for Distinguished Teaching. Dr. Cecilia.
Madam Vice Chancellor, I have the honor and pleasure to introduce Mrs. Maria Eduarda Nunes, recipient of the Award for Distinguished Teaching for the School of Continuing Studies. Maria has dedicated over 50 years of her life teaching mathematics and statistics. Students have recognized in Maria a teacher who is characterized by her knowledge, pedagogical and personal qualities, but more importantly, her dedication to adult learning. Maria came to Canada in 1979 after earning a master's from university in Lisbon in physics and chemistry and a minor in mathematics. She began teaching and she herself continued her higher education as an adult learner. Her life experience has made her the educator that she is. Maria understands that each adult learner has a number of competing demands on their time, whether it is work, family, friends, or even trying to establish themselves in a new country. She embraces the diversity, various ages, experiences, and cultures of adult learners, and creates interesting and exciting learning environments so that her students are engaged and inspired to do well. Here's just a small peek into the wonderful comments that students have said about Maria. She's an excellent teacher, able to present the material in a very simple way so that everyone can grasp all the details and understand the concepts. She is capable to transfer a huge amount of information in a very dynamic way. She gets the attention of the audience, makes the students feel confident to participate, and in general, we can have a good time while learning. Très pédagogique, ambiance incroyable dans son cours qui donne envie d'apprendre, répond bien aux questions et enseigne bien la matière. She has profound knowledge of the subject. I can go on, but you have a fairly good idea what kind of teacher Maria is. It is with great pleasure that the School of Continuing Studies, in recognition of her dedication to excellence in teaching, we present the 2013 Award for Distinguished Teaching to Maria Eduarda Nunes.
Thank you, Dr. Cecilia. I now ask Ms. Manon Gadebois to introduce the next winner of the School of Continuing Studies Award for Distinguished Teaching.
Hervé de Fontenay, Director of Languages and Intercultural Communication, is not able to be here with us tonight and sends his deepest regrets. He has asked me to introduce this year's recipient of the award for distinguished teaching, Jocelyn Philly. Having known Jocelyn for almost 15 years, it is a great honor for me to do so. Allow me to read the text Mr. de Fontenay prepared for the occasion. Madam Vice-Chancellor, Madame la Principale and Vice-Chancellor, it is an honor and a pleasure to introduce Jocelyn Philly, recipient of the award for distinguished teaching of the School for Continuing Studies. Jocelyn has spent most of her professional life at McGill, where she has taught French at various levels to a broad spectrum of students in terms of experience, age, and background. Teaching is second nature to Jocelyn. Her approach is based first and foremost on the quality of the relationship she tirelessly tries to establish with her students. In her view, this is the base on which the learning experience can become meaningful, effective, transformative. Formée en suggestologie, Jocelyne a très tôt pris conscience de l'impact des facteurs psychologiques chez les étudiants. J'ai rencontré très peu de professeurs qui, comme elle, savaient créer un climat de confiance, de reconnaissance mutuelle, de curiosité émulatrice. Dès les premières heures de classe, elle cherche à établir le lien sur lequel va se construire la communauté classe. Ses étudiants sont très sensibles à ses qualités d'écoute. Ils lui savent gré d'avoir été accueillis à bras ouverts dans leur démarche parfois hésitante vers une autre langue et une autre culture. For Jocelyn, curiosity is what helps one to be interested in a new language and culture, and more importantly, to be open to others. In her teaching, she cultivated this capacity and found ways to mix preparation and curiosity in such a way so as to draw students into a rich, stimulating learning adventure. Jocelyn has had an important not only on hundreds of students, but also on many younger teachers, as me. Through her personality, her pedagogical conviction, and her availability to others, she became a mentor and opened new perspectives for many of them in their teaching practice. Je ne peux pas imaginer un prix d'excellence en enseignement mieux mérité que celui-ci. Outre la reconnaissance de la contribution de Jocelyn au programme de français à McGill, ce prix souligne son parcours, son expertise, sa passion pour une approche pédagogique profondément humaniste. Hervé de Fontenay.
I would like to inject a personal note. I wasn't aware that Jocelyn Philly was receiving this award until a few days ago. Jocelyn was my French teacher many years ago, and I can only say, based on my experience, the award is most deserving. Thank you, Jocelyn. I now invite the Principal and Vice Chancellor to present Miss Sally McDougall, that she may have conferred upon her the highest recognition that is within the power of this university to grant.
Sally Catherine Drury McDougall. It is our privilege this evening to honor an extraordinary person, a remarkable alumna, Sally McDougall. Our university and our broader community have benefited for decades from this great woman's deep engagement, generosity of spirit, high standards, and love of McGill. Lorsque nous parlons de notre réseau d'étudiants, d'employés, de parents et d'amis, nous employons souvent l'expression « famille de famille ». Si seulement toutes les familles avaient la chance de compter Sally McDougall parmi elles, la passion de Sally pour McGill, et particulièrement pour le bien-être de ses étudiants, ne s'est jamais démentie. Sally McDougall graduated from McGill with a Bachelor of Science in 1968, followed by a diploma in education in 1969 from our McDonald College. During her studies, she was an avid and outstanding student athlete, playing field hockey and soccer. She helped to lead the McGill ski team to the league championship, showing how much she is the daughter of C.H. Chip Drury, McGill BNG 39, who helped guide the Redmond football team to the 1938 Yates Cup League Championship. During her time as a McGill undergraduate, Sally met and fell in love with a member of the junior varsity football team, the late Douglas McDougall, Bachelor of Arts 67. They married and together raised their wonderful family of boys, Todd, John, Reed, and Peter. Each son went on to graduate from McGill, where each also competed as a varsity athlete. Dougie also came from a family with strong McGill ties, both of his parents, McGill alumni. His father, Alan McDougall, graduated in commerce in 1930, and his mother, Catherine, earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in 1936 and remarkable for a woman in that period, for anyone in that period. She earned a PhD. Sally thus grew up in a family that valued education, volunteerism, athleticism, and public service. Her parents, Janet and Chip Drury, participated in municipal and local politics. Sally herself taught for a short period after graduation from McGill before going on to build a lifetime of family contribution and a career of devoted, masterful volunteerism. Even as a young mother of four active boys, she sat on school committees, served as a volunteer in the library, and tutored young people. Meals on Wheels, the Montreal Diet Dispensary, the Soldier On program for injured Canadian Forces veterans. Sally McDougall has contributed seriously to each of these important programs and many more. She embodies fully the values of medical missionary Sir Wilfrid Grenfell, who said, "Real joy comes not from ease or riches or from the praise of men, but from doing something worthwhile." I know of no one who better meets the test than Sally. And yes, Sally was also a fundraiser for the medical relief organization that Dr. Grenfell founded in 1914 in Newfoundland. Sally had obtenu a diplôme de McGill au cours des années 60, et cette première expérience universitaire a marqué le début d'une période de bénévolat de plus de 35 ans auprès de son alma mater. Sally a offert temps, énergie, soutien et conseil avisé à plus de 23 comités de McGill, ainsi qu'à un nombre impressionnant d'étudiants. One is hard-pressed to find anywhere at McGill that has not benefited from the Sally McDougall touch. Scholarship programs, athletics, academic policy, fiscal policy, support of professors and researchers, alumni outreach, even the very look of the downtown campus has been enhanced by Sally's serious contributions on committees. One cannot know McGill today without seeing the imprint of Sally McDougall's volunteerism. Sally's fans at McGill are legion. One of those fans, our Chancellor Emeritus Richard Pound, described Sally's service as representing an astonishing commitment of time, energy, and sound judgment, all done without any desire to be in the limelight or to seek personal recognition. She just wants to support better higher education and our students and the institution which delivers it. He is right, but when you're as tireless and dedicated and effective as Sally is, credit has a way of finding you. In 2007, the McGill Alumni Association presented her with the 2007 Award, Award of Merit, its highest honor. And so here we are today, enveloped in the loving spirit of Dougie McDougall and the spirit of the Drury and McDougall families, and in the company of Sally's sons, her brother Reed Drury and her sister Pansy Gaudreau, who join with us as we celebrate this remarkable woman, Sally Drury McDougall. It is thus with immense pleasure and as an admiring colleague and proud friend that I now call upon our Chancellor to confer upon Ms. Sally McDougall the University's highest honor, the degree of Doctor of Letters, honoris causa.
Ladies and gentlemen, I now have the great pleasure to invite Dr. Sally McDougall to deliver the convocation address. Dr. McDougall.
Thank you, Chancellor Steinberg, Madam Principal, Chair Cobbett, Dean Potter, friends both on and off the stage, family, and most importantly, fellow graduates. Welcome and good evening. My heartfelt congratulations to those of you being recognized with certificates and diplomas this evening. I also offer a special salute to those people around you who encouraged you to go for it, who supported you, who consoled you when your goal might have seemed out of reach, and who helped get you here tonight. As I was starting to prepare this evening's address, a friend suggested I answer the question, how do you create a meaningful life? Now, there's many different answers to this question, none of them short, as there are people in this tent, but I will try and be brief as possible. As students in McGill's School of Continuing Studies, you have demonstrated one of the primary requirements for a meaningful life, setting a goal and achieving it through sheer hard work and perseverance. You all have my utmost respect and admiration for your ability to combine, in many cases, a full-time job, commitments to family and friends, and your studies. Your determination, time management skills, and desire to expand your experience and abilities will serve you well as you move on through life. This evening, I'd like to talk briefly about another element that offers meaning in life, as well as a myriad of learning opportunities. It's something we often forget in the hustle and bustle of day-to-day survival, and that something is volunteerism. As well-organized high achievers, you are the perfect candidates to be volunteers, and I can attest that volunteering in whatever capacity can be one of the most rewarding activities in life. Surprisingly, perhaps, freely giving service to others is immensely fulfilling. I recognize that many of you have made sacrifices to enhance your professional qualifications, but no salary or corporate title can equal the joy that comes from helping a healing veteran or a disabled child struggling to master a new skill. Volunteering is not a CV opportunity, but an activity that opens the door to a lifetime of learning. And you've already proved to be wonderful advocates for continuing education. Simply, as volunteers, we offer to the individuals, groups, or institutions our enthusiasm, time, energy, and talent. What can you do? How can you help? Well, look around your community. Talk to friends and colleagues who may already be involved. Begin with an area that interests you, something that corresponds to your abilities, perhaps a hobby or a sport where you've already acquired some skills and experience. If you have children, and I hear some out there, look at their activities. See if your free time and abilities can be a match. Volunteering in something where your children are participating has tremendous benefits. They appreciate your interest in their activities, and seeing them in situations outside the home gives you a greater understanding of them as individuals. Be realistic about the time you have available to commit. In many ways, a volunteer position is more demanding than a so-called day job. Be prepared to stand behind your commitment. But whatever you choose, be passionate about it. Be involved because that's what you want to do, not because someone else suggested it was a good idea. Believe me, nothing is worse than a grumpy volunteer. Perhaps your accounting background can help a community organization with their financial reports. Or maybe your language skills would be appreciated by a local hospital or seniors' residence. There are one-on-one literacy programs where, as a reading tutor, you can unlock a whole new world for others. Or you can work with groups who help recent immigrants build new lives in Canada. If you have a similar history, your example can be truly inspirational. There are also organizational needs where work is done in committees, and your knowledge and experience can help with strategic planning ideas. Many volunteers learn on the spot, initially armed with minimal skills, but a lot of patience, enthusiasm, and yes, a sense of humor. Sometimes you could be working pretty much on your own, I remember for years, every Tuesday morning, heading out to a local food bank where I filled my car with occasionally leaky boxes of food and then delivered them up a flight of stairs to an agency where the goods were later distributed to needy pregnant women and their families. Believe me, when you start looking for them, the opportunities go on and on. And the rewards are equally numerous, but are personal and individual, and should never be for recognition, which I confess makes me somewhat embarrassed about this honor. We each find our own fulfillment in whatever we are doing. We meet wonderful people who we would otherwise not have met. We make great new friendships, and we learn new skills in the understanding of others, their challenges, and their cultures. Now, I know that as I've spoken tonight, people throughout the audience have been nodding inwardly. That's because you are already committed volunteers. And you know from your experience about the satisfaction and the education and life skills that come from helping others. To you, I offer a friendly pat on the back and an encouragement to recruit others to the cause. It has been an enormous privilege for me to be involved as a volunteer at McGill. I'm humbled to stand in front of you and accept an accolade for what have been some of the most enriching experiences of my life. As always, it is the people who make a difference. And I have been so very fortunate to work with so many outstanding people. In closing, two small areas of advice, which apply not only to volunteer work, but to your day-to-day lives as well. Smile. No matter what you're doing, once a look of determination has passed, smile from your insides out. As I mentioned earlier, there's nothing worse than a grumpy volunteer or a grumpy colleague. If you're keen, passionate, and interested in what you're doing, the smile should come naturally, and smiling is contagious. And along with this, keep a sense of humor. And when things aren't going quite as you'd hoped, remember the end goal. You are well on your way to a more meaningful life. Thank you, and congratulations once again.
Thank you, Dr. McDougall. I think you can understand when I say that she's had a positive impact on the lives of literally thousands and thousands of people. I think one day, maybe not too far in the future, if we set up a faculty of volunteerism, we'll know exactly who to go for to be the first dean. She'll be Dr. Dean Sally McDougall of the Faculty of Volunteerism. We will now proceed with the conferral of academic degrees, and I invite Professor Anthony Massey, Provost of McGill University, to commence the formal proceedings. Provost Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chancellor. I'm pleased to invite students graduating from programs in the School of Continuing Studies to come forward for the conferral of their diplomas or certificates. Each student crossing the stage will be greeted by the Chancellor, the Principal, or the Chairman of the Board of Governors. All students may leave their mortarboard hat on their heads while crossing the stage. At center stage, each will be congratulated by a tap on their shoulders. Please be assured that in most cases, this tapping is done lightly. The parchment diploma is given to each student as he or she leaves the stage. En vertu des pouvoirs qui me sont conférés par le Sénat de McGill, je déclare que les candidats dont le nom figure sur la liste des diplômés de l'université, qu'ils soient présents ou absents, ont satisfait aux exigences de leur grade, diplôme, ou certificat respectif. By virtue of the powers conferred upon me by McGill Senate, I declare that the candidates whose names appear on the university's list of graduates, whether they be present or absent, have satisfied the requirements for their respective diplomas or certificates. I now invite Professor James Archibald to introduce the graduates, and for Professor Judith Potter, Dean of the School of Continuing Studies, to distribute the diplomas. Class of 2013, congratulations, félicitations.
Mr. Chancellor, for the Diploma in Human Resources Management, Pedro Moises Aranda Costa. Isam Banifarel. Kevin Chung Chun Choi. Davide Mario De Rossi. Greta Elias. Laura Maria Forero. Karen Cara Joseph. Christabel Lefebvre. Clarisse Manigan. Virginia Maya Mititelu, also receiving a certificate of proficiency in Spanish. Milena Slavacheva Nikolova. Andrea Nucci, Dean's Honor List. Melody Ann Parent. Patricia Samanis. Jennifer Nancy Shuan, Dean's Honor List. Megan Kimberly Watson. Kathy Yee. For the Diploma in Public Relations Management, Dimitar Rumeneov Alenakov. Melissa Di Paola. Carol Ann Easy. Sergei Kostin. Iris Raquel Lopez Bravo. Vanessa Mara. Maria Isabel Ortiz. Crisula Pasilis. Lauren Daniel Pedros. Veronica Martha Pile. Hector Arturo Rodriguez Neda. Roxanne Saint-Just. Melanie Schaefer. Felicia Steinfeld. Marilena Varano. For the Graduate Diploma in Translation in English to French, Pierre Castigner. For the Graduate Diploma in Translation in French to English, Danielle Powell. For the Graduate Diploma in Translation in Spanish to English, Elisa Rivero Vasquez. For the Graduate Diploma in Translation in Spanish to French, Regine Gardes. For the Graduate Certificate in Accounting Practice, Joshua Herbert Bertis. Sonia Boulet. Than Bao Thu Cao. Jin Hang Chen. Ping Chen. Amrit Deol. Yu Hua Du. Filomena Fata. Mohammed Atikul Islam. Ya Nan Liu. Daniela Michaela Makove. Florentina Manea. Georgia Marinos. Nikki Poulakis. Jason Raj. Carmen Celiano. Alina Maria Sararu. Andrea Teodorovici. Ling Wang. Xiaomin Tian. For the Graduate Certificate in Entrepreneurship, Gita Hakam. For the Graduate Certificate in Healthcare, Yasmin Mirani. For the Graduate Certificate in Healthcare Management, Noor Sibai. For the Graduate Certificate in Human Resources Management, Asem Baya. Jamie M. DeMore. Rola Saab. For the Graduate Certificate in International Business, Ismael Sisse. Thiago De More Costa. Carlota Cristina Romero Gomez Ruiz. For the graduate certificate in internet business, Chantal Marie-Paul Lapierre. For the graduate certificate in leadership, Pierre Bergeron. Isabel Cristina Vivas Molina, also receiving a diploma. Also receiving a diploma in supply chain and operations management. For the graduate certificate in marketing, Mohammed Ben Jaloun. Abadi Shahada. Marisa D'Abramo. Carol Tatiana Lovera. For the graduate certificate in taxation, Stanislas Arthur Goldenberg. For the diploma in accounting, Aldo Calomusto. Wei Sim Fung, Dean's Honor List. Caroline Anais Hachikanya. Jacques Saint-Florent. Tianyan Yang. Madam Vice Chancellor. For the diploma in finance, Sumama Buia. Elena Bokova. Diana Carolina Centanaro Garcia. Ki Chen. Rami Kandalaft. Martin Carlos Kember Urquiza, American Express Prize in Management, Treasury Finance, Dean's Honor List. Joseph Mura Kimani. John Freddy Lancheros. Zain bin Mahmoud, Dean's Honor List. Irene Paola Macchiata Bello, Dean's Honor List. Sarah Rahmi. Marcos Ramirez Martinez. Engi Ashraf Sadek. Luis Alberto Verastegui Kunza. For the diploma in Internet Business Technology, Dimitar Nadinov Apostolov. For the diploma in Management in Entrepreneurship, Alejandra del Castillo, Dean's Honor List. Zaid Galzim. Navor Guzman. Karim Hassan. For the Diploma in Management in General Management, Pascal Dandavino Forge. Audrey Giguère Knuckle. Gregory Kobernik. Angeles Mantilla. Jolong Tan. Juan Fernando Vanegas. For the Diploma in Management in Healthcare, Marie Nadia Niam Wonvi Rakure. Paulina Zakia. For the Diploma in Management in Human Resources, Felicia Burke. Ines Jaluli. Susana Cafadar de Rodriguez. Carolina Soto. For the Diploma in Management in International Business, Fernando Jesus Gutierrez Schreiner. Michael Héroux Vaillancourt. Lu Hu. Iman Norafkan. Jorge Fabricio Sanchez. Christian Elnais Wiestein, Dean's Honor List. For the Diploma in Management in International Business, Claudia del Carmen Mack. For the Diploma in Management in Marketing, Nadzeva Chuvashova. Jennifer Elizabeth Howe. Svetlana Koichik, also receiving a graduate certificate in public relations management. Maria Catalina Oldan Garcia. Vincenzo Serignese. Nicolas Francisco Vanegas. For the Diploma in Management in Operations Management, Nadia Nasdal. For the Diploma in Management in Public Relations, Nozifo Valerie Nidweni. For the Diploma in Management in Taxation, Ngoc Yuan Wei La. George Gasha Theano. For the Diploma in Supply Chain and Operations Management, Ahmed Atiya Eshawahuya. Miguel Angel Hurtado Benavides. Anibal Parisi. Karina Margarita Perez Rodriguez. Anthony Salim. Carlos Sebastian Silva Gallardo. Kai Kin Tang. Pedro David Vallejos Romana. For the Certificate in Accounting, Charles P. Arlegi. Dugba Bozeri. Simon Brulot. Angie Choi. Susan Dickman. Nalin Sirimal Disanayeke. Tapan Joader. Dorothy Otang Are. Fei Jue. Yadie Yankin. For the Certificate in Entrepreneurship, Demetrios Asimakopoulos. Michael Boutin. Elizabeth Moonjin Kim. For the Certificate in Finance, Valentina Morales Aristival. Alessandria Panapalis. Sutharsan Abakaran. For the Certificate in Health and Social Services Management, Elnaz Balashi. For the Certificate in Human Resources Management, Pasqualina Bofice. Maria Lourdes Gabatin Kalindas. Sarah Anna Cohen. Tessia Lauren Carosella. Karine Diabo. Maria Alpha Gumbok. Marie Edith Ertelu. Fanta Kamisoko. Ida May Labillois. Marie Laache, Honda St. Rose Award, Dean's Honor List. Christina T. Marinos, Dean's Honor List. Tina McComber Stacy. Allison McGregor. Harunur Rashid Mohammed. Paola Reyes Villanueva. For the Certificate in Logistics Management, Anthony George Lewis. Louise Monette. Cindy Moore. Arlene Diane Myers. Ralitsa Petrova. For the Certificate in Management, Anar Alisada. Lydie Boyer Gibbs. Anka Michaela Enache. Ivalo Gorgachev. Richard Halal, also receiving a certificate in software development. Alina Kotiarova. Heba Mohammed. Miguel Jose Tovar Mateus. Florine Joan Valien. Ai Lun Wu. For the Certificate in Marketing, Mikhail Krivorot. Natalia Ramirez Marin, also receiving a Certificate of Proficiency, English for Professional Communication. For the Certificate in Public Relations, Marie Noel Anthropoulos. Zinat Asif. Rachel Christine Wojcik. Ariane Juliette Cooper. Lori Ann Joyce Feliciano. Dina Zafer Jarar. Tanya Martin Chabot. Amanda Leslie Fritz, Dean's Honor List. Jamie Lynn Irvin Martin. Margie Ramos. Olena Savchenko. For the Certificate in Public Relations Management and Communications Management, Vipiana Teresa Tishlanda. Mr. Chair. For the Certificate in Software Development, Mahant Khejar. William Kolate Numa. Gabriel Portillo. Teva Milton Salmon. Marc Vachon, Dean's Honor List. Stephen Robert Waters. For the Certificate in Supply Chain Management and Logistics, Véronique Durando, Dean's Honor List. Karim Meshakwi. Jala Mahajaha Ndvlo, Dean's Honor List. For the Certificate in Systems Analysis and Design, Holly Lynn Harris. Sean Joseph Inche. Ioannis Kleftogiannis. Ariane Simon Senecal. For the Certificate in Translation in English to French, Caroline Belmar. Michel DeMeo. Franck Lulan, Dean's Honor List. Mas. Catherine Rose Mas. For the Certificate in Translation in French to English, Stephanie Albert Gutierrez. Cheryl Lynn Cook. Sophie Shipilevsky. For the Certificate of Proficiency English for Professional Communication, Annick Bédard. Bogdan Bors. Romina Bruno, Dean's Honor List. Jorge Luis Cortes Hidalgo. Yolmina Amparo Delgado. Maria Chaney. Serge Emmanuel Dimitrius. Mary Jane Jarige Escriba. Ansa Ri Lil. Frederick Farah. Timur Akhmetov. Kamiran Jasu. Luis Alberto Escalona Ramirez. Svetlana Kvartyuk. Alberto Alexis Lordui. Denis Kovalenko. Carlos Fernando Macia. Milikesi Maimai Tiniyazi. Nelida Magali Masson Salazar. Daragi Misaudi, Dean's Honor List. Leonardo Carlos Ocampo Enayo. Gloria Luz Ospina. Evelyn Parmentier, Dean's Honor List. Suzy Plamondon. Ahmed Saeed Rahmawi, Edward C. Webster Prize in English as a Second Language, Dean's Honor List. Marta Liliana Romero. Diane Rusile. Mashid Sadat. Eric Yuri Magal Sacramento. Boy Udama Sagao. Oscar Hernando Salcedo Rueda. Maria del Carmen Torres Munoz. Stella Valencia Galvez, also receiving a certificate of proficiency in French for professional communication. Natalina Viktorivna Zaivo-Ronok. For the Certificate of Proficiency in English Language and Culture, Zanaib Taher Al-Said. Dina Al-Madun. Alejandro Jose Akira Tali. Hajida Abdallah Baldet. D. Daniela Badrin. Khalid Arifa Baraka. Luisa Fernanda Chia Gomez. Saola Jose da Silva Filho. Mumina Isnino Doale. Natalia Anatoly Dubrovina. Marlon Brando Pereira Fetosa. Muna Mufta Hariba. Giraldo. Carolina Giraldo. Hanna Al-Hassan Hakami. Kahina El-Aziza Hayuna. Ranim Khalil. Hun Jung Kim. Anna Virginia Mayorga Espinosa, Dean's Honor List. Maruf Ramadan. Maud Miriam Rattel. Julia Sofia Sorocco, Dean's Honor List. Jan Sun. Basma Wadi Sindhi. Valerie Smirnov. Jimena Vallejo Alvarez. For the Certificate of Proficiency French for Professional Communication, Dwight Faithful. For the Certificate of Proficiency in French Language and Culture, Angeneta Christine de Jong. Istiana Istiana. Anna Teresa Leck. For the Certificate of Proficiency in Spanish, Mutolo Ali Ningdu. Ian Hadida. Justina Monica Kabi Rahnama. Henri Robert Lafaye. Melanie Kathleen Audrey Lompre. Virginia Maya Mititelu, also receiving the Diploma in Human Resources Management. Yumi Odani. Siddharth Suresh, Dean's Honor List. Jose Carlos Moraes.
Je demande à tous les diplômés de se lever. À titre de chancelier de l'Université McGill, je déclare et confirme que chacun de vous a maintenant le droit à la distinction de grade, diplôme ou certificat qui vous a été conféré avec tous les honneurs, droits, privilèges et responsabilités qui y sont pertinents. In my capacity as Chancellor of McGill University, I declare and confirm that each of you is now entitled to the distinction of the degree, diploma, or certificate that has been conferred upon you with all the honors, rights, privileges, and responsibility that are pertinent thereto. Félicitations, congratulations. As you have heard, about a month from now, Professor Heather Monroe Bloom will be stepping down as principal and vice chancellor after serving for 10.5 years. As someone who has worked with her since her arrival at McGill to assume this position, and especially in the past 4 years as chancellor, I can personally attest to the extraordinary contribution she has made to this great institution. So would you please rise and join me in extending to Professor Monroe Bloom our most sincere thanks for a very difficult and demanding job performed with intelligence, grace, fortitude, and enormous success. Thank you. Please remain standing as the Secretary General, Mr. Stephen Strobel, delivers the benediction. Strobel.
Go now in peace to share the gift of knowledge that has been entrusted to you. May this university and all graduates be diligent in the free and honest pursuit of truth for the benefit of all. Ce que nous venions et où que nous allions, humbles et pleins d'espoir, nous nous laisserons guider par l'amitié et la solidarité, et nous gagnerons en sagesse. May you be blessed all your days.
Thank you, Secretary General. And now to conclude the ceremony, Professor Winston Purdy will sing our national anthem.
O Canada, our home and land. Thank you.